it. I was inspired to make Chris the hero tonight because I got a question from one of you saying, wishing you a great spring season and continued success. Would you comment on the Sprout Gold Trust and the Sprout Silver Trust? I never comment. I never give it securities advice on the Solaria Report, so I'm not going to comment on the details of the two. These are two ETFs sponsored by Sprout, a company run by Eric Sprout in Canada. Generally, I'm not comfortable with Sprout as someone governing and managing assets, so I won't comment on these particular securities, but I would say I've had several dealings and run-in with Eric, and he's just not someone I would who passes my due diligence test. So I think there are other there are other options in that market which are very strong. And generally, the one thing I would say is if you're going to look at ETFs, it's very important to look at two issues. One, is the gold and silver really there, number one, and number two, where are they trading in terms of premium and discount to melt value? And that is very important. The we have a special Solaria report. It's called GLD and SLV Disclosure in the Precious Metals Puzzle Palace, and it looks at the two iShare, the two big silver and gold ETFs, and you'll get a good sense of what many of the different issues are in taking a look and underwriting an ETF. A second question tonight, hopefully the subject line directed this to you. In an attempt to understand how intelligent people could make so many mistakes, lose all their wealth and homes, I started researching. My network did the same. It led us back to Promise, MERS, and artificial intelligence software on a fully automated system designed to hurt the layman, rape, pillage, and plunder a nation and the whole world. We found much. Patent, trademark, service mark, shell course, complete underground shadow banking system and virtual economy. We even found software based upon a video game actually running the economy. We started out trying to save our homes and farms. Then we wanted to save the nation. No one would listen to us. Congress told me to put it on two pages. I laughed, I cried, I prayed. I know you have been fighting for decades. Based upon your knowledge, where's the real weakness in the system? God, we need some help. So let me repeat this again, and let me talk about the real weakness in the system. Another world is possible, and this relates what I said to the, you know, you don't have to go back into the duopoly. There is a great deal done to assure people that things are hopeless and they have to go along with sort of quote-unquote the way things are. The reality is if you look at the people leading the current effort to centralize the system, whether it's in a particular government or whether it's in private investment forces outside the government, they lack the what I call the mandate of heaven and what the Chinese call the mandate of heaven. We talked about it when we did the Solaria report with Victor Meyer and talked about the Sun Tzu's book, The Art of War. It's a big planet. It takes a lot of trust and cooperation to run the planet. You can't just govern everything based on force and sort of invasion of privacy and invasive technology. But so I don't expect this centralization effort ultimately to win. And but it is so important that we have an alternative picture of the future. I got a wonderful message from subscribers after we did the Solaria report with Bill Tiller, and one that I've described to you before, a marvelous friend of mine and subscriber in Vancouver wrote a letter and said, oh my word, I just listened to Adam Trombley's interview on entrainment technology, and now I understand how so many people get tricked. And then I listened to Bill Tiller talking about the power of us to create our own intention. And then I listened to Adam Trombley's interview and watched Thrive about energy technology. And I realized if you look at the technology that's being used to control and you use it, look at the technology that could be used to make all sorts of healthcare and energy and other things available if it was unsuppressed and integrated, and then you look at Tiller on the power of our ability to create the kind of world we want with our intention and for intention to impact material reality, she realized, you know, another world really is possible. It is possible to thrive. We don't have to live this way. And I think that picture is powerful because it's what attracts people out of thinking that they have to go along with the duopoly. I said to Franklin last week when we did the Precious Metals Report, you know, and you've heard me say this before, I think one of the reasons our subscribers really enjoy listening to Franklin is he's someone who said, look, I just don't have to go along. I'm going to go off and teach myself how to farm, and, you know, and we're just going to find another way. I did the same thing. And you can too. So it's all of this is why, and sort of this weak point is why I wanted you to learn and hear about the Ellis Medavoy interviews that John Rappaport had did, and we talked about in our big interview of his new product, The Matrix Is Revealed, because another world is possible. And I think the weak spot is the minute that enough, a critical mass of people understand another world is possible, and they don't have to live inside the matrix, I think that's when this thing really starts to shift. And the most powerful thing we can each do is how we spend our own time and how we shift our own resources. It's one of the things we talk a lot about. And so one thing I will tell you is if everyone just starts making sure that you are immune to being sort of drained by the system, whether it's mentally or financially or every other way, the more we become resistant, the less we feed the machine. So by protecting yourself, you do an enormous amount to hit the system where it's weak because it is so leveraged. So, you know, when I tell people, you think you have a little bit of money in the bank, but enough of us shifting it, it makes an enormous difference. And just, I think the weak spot is the minute we all understand we're powerful and the system is a lot less strong than it looks, despite all the technology. Because, again, force is not enough to hold together a governance system, particularly for an entire planet. The other thing I wanted to talk about in the Ask Catherine section is there's been enormous controversy around Thrive. And I wanted to read, we got a number of comments in, and I posted part of the controversy up on the blog this week. Remember, Thrive is now streaming for free. It's a 2-hour and 15-minute documentary. Streaming for free, they've translated it into 10 languages. Other areas, I think Portugal, India, have translated into 5 more languages and given them the copyright. So it's literally available up on the internet in 15 languages. So this is really a global conversation. And if you haven't watched it, I would really encourage you to, you know, get a group of people together, sit down, get some whatever it is you like to nosh on and watch it. Even watch, you know, parts, stop, discuss, keep watching, because it's again, 2 hours and 15 minutes. So let me just read the first comment. I'm a new subscriber. I've watched the Thrive movement with great interest and suspicion. Do not get me wrong. The point I wish to make, I believe it was an extremely well done and informative video. However, I've seen videos and other information online for free, and I found it curious that a member of the Gamble family would undertake such an endeavor and then find it necessary to charge a $5 fee for the service. On that point, if you look at how much it costs to make and produce and distribute something like Thrive, they absolutely, Foster Gamble absolutely needs to charge money. And in fact, the reason they dropped the fee is that they found with the pirated versions that the free video encouraged so many DVD buyings that it was purchases. It was probably more economic to let it go for free. But absolutely, even if you're a Gamble, you don't have enough money to do that without getting some kind of financial return back. It was a very expensive endeavor and has taken many, many years. So the subscriber continues, I've also listened to Chris Hedges' interview and found him to be extremely intelligent and articulate spokesperson for much of what I too agree with. However, I would be willing to bet if either were asked what really happened on 9/11, they would not be so outspoken. In other words, they're both committing sins of omission and telling half-truths, which we know are much more dangerous than lies. I agree. The most dangerous lie you can tell is a material omission, and I'm very glad that this subscriber pointed it out. I will say, however, that if you're someone like Chris Hedges or Foster Gamble, and you're doing an enormous amount to illuminate things that are hidden or are very sensitive, you can't do everything. So, you know, if you look at Thrive, there are an enormous number of issues that Foster takes on, including what I think are the most important ones, which is to ask the question, who's really running this, and are they running it according to criteria that are out of alignment with what's in our best interest? And I think he does an excellent job of that. But there are a whole world of issues that we've gone into in detail on the Solari report because we've had hour after hour after hour for many years, and you just literally can't handle them all, particularly because to handle them at that level, you have to be an expert. So, or you need to just pour more money in documentation, et cetera. So if you look at you know, there's plenty on 9/11 and chemtrails and other things on their website, but they don't go into it in any kind of detail. So I'm happy to see somebody do what they can, but not be responsible to try and illuminate every issue in the world, because literally there's not enough time and money if you're one guy to do that, even if you have the money of a gamble. So there's a fine line between doing what you can and not being guilty of a material omission. So on 9/11, I don't pretend to be an expert on 9/11, but I always say, you know, I think the official story is a conspiracy theory, and it's clearly not, it doesn't hold up against the facts that we know. So the subscriber continues, you see, I've realized over the past 8 years that what is going on here on planet Earth is nothing new. It has been going on since men crushed grapes, since the first prostitute did her first trick or the first secret agent was hired. And she goes on, and then the question is, should I be suspicious of Mr. Gamble and Mr. Hedges? And I think that the question, I have worked with Foster Gamble for a long time. I don't know Chris Hedges, but I like him. I think these are sincere people, and they're doing their best. It's very, very important that we have a model of information where we listen, we take away from something what is useful to us, and then our response to that is, rather than try and tear down the person who offered up what their best effort was, what we should do, you know, and so not be a crab in a bucket, but instead offer up what we think are additions or supplements or our own map or solution. So, for example, if Foster Gamble says, look, here's my map, here's my definition of the problem, here's what I think the solutions are, it's our responsibility to say, you know, terrific, I really appreciate your making that effort. Here's where I think your map can be improved. Here's where I agree with it. Here's where I disagree with you on solutions. Here's what I think the solutions are. And it's in that conversation that something emerges. We saw a group of progressives, it led sort of by John Robbins and probably Paul Hawken, criticized Thrive pretty aggressively. And their contention seemed they didn't want to be associated with certain things the film was saying, or they had a problem with different people in the film, not so much what they were saying in the film, but what they were saying off camera. I must tell you that I think that the letter criticizing Thrive is the best example I can give you of why I sometimes say that I find the progressive community to be more damaging than just about any of the forces in America. And it's because we need to have a conversation, as this subscriber asked, we need to have a conversation without material omissions. Now, to have a conversation in material omission without material omission requires an awful lot of phenomena and an awful lot of expertise. So Thrive has tried to do one that's very integrated and complete. It's not perfect. It couldn't possibly be. But we do need a conversation without material omissions. And if you look at the group of people criticizing Thrive, I think that they are guilty of significant material omissions, particularly the material omission that takes them out of their area of expertise and says, okay, what's going on in my area, whether it's healthcare or food or entrepreneurship, is really a symptom of a governance problem, and we need to go upstairs and look at that cross-cutting governance problem and not just stick as an expert within the system. So I think that's part of what's happening, but it's a healthy conversation, And I would encourage you to watch Thrive. But again, I think that real maps and real solutions are going to emerge from many contributions, and I think it was one that was made sincerely. But there are going to be many more before something emerges that we're all going to say, ah, there it is, it's perfect.